Good evening. This is the regular September meeting of the Planning Commission, the City of Mill Creek. Tom, can you do a roll call for the record, please?
Yes, I'd be glad to. Planning Commissioner John Paddock. Commissioner Hyatt. Chair Eisner.
Here.
Commissioner Boruda.
Here.
Commissioner Gable. Commissioner Embleton.
Here.
Vice Chair Nolan.
Here.
The record shows so. We have a quorum, and we now move to the third item on the agenda, which is, as I see it, the election of chair and vice chair for the coming year. We'll entertain motion for nominations and go from there. And if there are none, I'd like to take the prerogative of the chair and nominate Matt Nolan to take the place of chairman of the Planning Commission.
Thank you.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
We moved and seconded that Matt Nolan be the chair of the Planning Commission for the next year or whenever we meet again, whichever comes first. And come on, guys, this is as funny as it's going to get. We have a nomination for vice chair.
Was there a vote? I'm sorry, did I hear?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is there a vote? Yes. So all in favor of Matt Nolan?
Aye.
Aye.
Wait, Pietro, I'm having a hard time understanding.
Yeah, Pietro, you might need to reconnect because it's garbled.
Very garbled.
It's a little better. Could you test again?
Nah, I'd probably just try reconnecting. Might be
Tom will have to deal with that.
Well, was it an I or an A? If you give it a thumbs up, that could be an I, or a thumbs down, an A, or
all in favor.
Okay.
So for that motion, we're good. We can wait for you to reconnect if you want to try that.
Well, that works for me. Now let's go to the vice chair. Do I have a nomination for the vice chair, please?
Was Pietro, are you going to try to reconnect or?
Okay.
So why don't we just wait for a minute until she comes back in? I let her in. We'll see. Hopefully, it'll be better.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess while we're waiting for Pietro to reconnect, just to confirm. So the new starting period would be from when? Would it be the beginning of next year, or would it be?
We usually have elections in February.
Okay.
We didn't have elections last time because there were a couple of vacant seats. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to wait until the council filled the chairs. And then, so that happened since the last meeting. So that's why we're doing it this meeting. So I would imagine that in February, we will redo the elections again to get back on schedule. Okay, somebody here is wanting to get in, I think. Hold on. Hopefully.
Oh, we had somebody. No.
Is that better?
Doesn't appear.
It sounds like real buzzy, like your microphone's either getting too much volume on it, like it's too high, and so it's feeding back on itself.
Can't put the other hook. Very good.
It's not marginally better.
Yeah.
Is that better?
It's getting better, I think.
Yeah, I can understand you now. You're muted now.
Now we can't hear you.
You just want to use the chat box?
Yes.
That's a workaround.
Okay, let's go back to the nomination of the vice chair.
I'm still waiting for a nomination to the vice chair.
I'd like to nominate Dave Hamilton, if you'd be interested.
I would be. I'd be happy to serve.
And moved and seconded. Listeners, any other nominations? Hearing none, call for the question. Raise your hands. That way, all in favor? Got it. Thank you. Where did Matt go? Which corner is
I'm here.
Yeah, you're up.
Okay. So thank you very much. So our next item on our agenda is approval of the minutes from April 15th. Those are sent out with our packet. Hopefully everybody got a chance to look at those, and we would look for a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll move that the minutes may be, I wasn't there.
No, I'll move they be approved.
Do we have a second? Jose, I think you're.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, raise your hand, I think is what we're doing now, electronically. Thank you so much. And we've done that. So now back on our agenda, we're cruising right along here. We have our work session. So it's an update of the Mill Creek Boulevard sub area plan. And I'd let everyone know that Dave Hamilton and I are both on that committee representing the Planning Commission. And we had a meeting last night, so I don't know the packet information we got sent out. Tom will probably explain some of the changes from last night, but it's been a great group of both city staff, consultant staff, our council members, and community members looking at what can we do in the neighborhood and in the area around the shopping centers, and I think come up with some very innovative stuff that actually will be a lot of work for the Planning Commission over time. With that, I'll turn it over to Tom.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and share my screen. It may take a couple seconds to get this working properly.
Hey Tom, while you're doing that, I don't think Petra can, there's no chat function in this Zoom, so I don't think she can actually chat away, just if that's important for her to be able to do.
Is there an option to add the chat feature to it, or?
You know, I am an amateur at this.
I spend 12 hours a day on it. So Petra, if you go over to the mute icon on the bottom left, and there's a small arrow, you can switch to phone audio. And you can use your phone while being on the video. Mute button on the very bottom left, and there's a little arrow. Well, yeah, it's your phone number. You've got to kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry for the disruption.
Oh, thank you, Councilmember Paddock. That's great. I want everybody to be able to comment.
I'm gonna go get some shampoo.
Okay, I'm trying to get the right screen on here. Which screen are you seeing?
We're seeing the
letter
pack.
The introduction letter.
Committee recommendation.
That's not the one I want. That's not the one I want. I'm sorry.
Well, that's the one you got, Tom.
That's great.
Okay, I'll do it again. I'm challenged here, apparently. Okay, let's see, how's this look? So that's the one that wants to come up.
You might be able to drag over whichever thing you're trying to show us to this screen. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, there we go.
There you go.
The only thing bad about that is you'll be looking at the screen and not my face, so I'll be looking the other way, but that'll be okay. Okay, so last night the PAC met and had a good discussion about the recommendations that I'll give this presentation. And what we did is we started off with sort of talk about what we wanted to get from the PAC as far as the purpose of the meeting. We went through a brief history with some of the background and some of the key information that sort of came out through the two-year process, and then we went through the document itself. And so I have the exact same presentation that was presented to the PAC last night, so sorry for the two of you that have already seen it. I don't know if I'll do as well as Mandy did, but I'll do my best. And then the document itself has not had the amendments made to it that the PAC made last night. So it's the same version of the document that was in your packet and sent to you last week. It's 95% the same as far as substance goes. So I'm not going to dwell on that. We're not asking you to approve or make any kind of decision tonight. This is an update to let you know what's going on. What's going to happen, and we'll get into this a little bit, it's sort of discussing the document itself, is what we're hoping that'll happen is these recommendations that we're going to discuss tonight will go to the City Council. And then the City Council, if they're okay with the recommendations, at least as far as putting a plan together that they are willing to consider as part of the 2024 comp plan update, then we will have the consultant put that plan together, and basically it'll be like an application that'll come in as part of our comp plan. We're not going to adopt it. The council even forwarding this to have the plan made is not a decision to adopt it, or even necessarily that they agree with everything. It's just enough that it's something that they're willing to consider as part of the next comp plan update. So I just want to try to be clear about that. We had a lot of discussion about that last night, and I wasn't communicating it very well because we talked about it a long time. It's clear in my head, but it's hard to describe really. So anyway, let me go ahead and get started with the actual presentation. Okay, so this is what we presented last night. And let's see, we get to the full screen version. There we go. So as I mentioned, what we're trying to talk about is sort of the purpose of the meeting, give the background, and then talk about the recommendations. So what we want to do is we met up on this document one time before, and we got a lot of feedback, and so we wanted to we did a lot of rewriting, and so we want to get the final comments and then talk about getting it going to the City Council. And then lastly, we really want to say thank you. I think that was the ninth meeting I think we had last night. So there's a list of all the things that all the times we met. We talked about the existing zoning. We talked about the next meeting. We talked about the existing conditions of the property and some sort of market assessments that we did. We had a Leland Consulting was part of the team. Our consultant team. Our consultant is OTEC, and they did a sort of assessment of what the market can do and sort of what the demand is. We spent some time in November going over stormwater management. That's one of the main issues in this whole corridor. And for those of you that don't know, and I'm sorry, we've got some new commissioners, I probably should take a step back as we're talking about the area that is between, and there's a map that'll come up, but it's between the existing town center and south along the Mill Creek Boulevard to 164th Street and a little bit on the other side at the shopping center. In that area, the stormwater was all built back in the 80s. And so there is no, it does not meet current code, and the water goes basically untreated right into North Creek. And so any redevelopment in this area would require to have a to redo the stormwater. And if we could have a regional approach that could share costs, and anyway, stormwater is a big issue in this area. I am so sorry. Now, did we do the phone thing? Are you, let's see, are you trying to get in on the phone? I don't see any way to get in. Okay, so if you do the phone options on the invitation, then you have some phone numbers. Okay, so in December, we did a visioning exercise where we talked about kind of what could happen there, and there were a lot of different things going on. We talked about things that were important, and we used dots to put on different things that were important. We put the staff then put together and had a analysis and sort of trying to put drawings together to make sure that see what that would look like. We took a we talked about the recommendation to go to the city council, and we've been doing that since April. So the last meeting again was last night, and we took and we're going to take the results of that to the city council. I think the PAC has had its last meeting. As far as the recommendations to the city council, one of the things. Let me see. Is there somebody waiting to get in? What? No, I don't see anyone. One of the things was the city council wanted us to look at two different alternatives, one that was up to 50% of the Sudbury changing, and one that was up to 30% of the Sudbury changing. And so all the analysis sort of based on those two things. And what the PAC decided was that the alternative B, the 30%, actually turned out to be 34% is what would be the likely scenario. And here is a map showing the sub area. In the orange lines are the areas, the lots that were ultimately that are going to be proposed as potentially changing in the sub area plan. And as you can see, that unfortunately north doesn't go up in this. Usually I like north to go up. I mean, as a planner, this makes me feel really funny, but north is off to the right. Town center is over here. And then Mill Creek Boulevard comes this way. This is Main Street to town. Right here, and there's Mill Creek Boulevard. And so the properties we're talking about are on the west side. The pond that's there in the middle is right there. That is not part of that 34%. And the reasons they sort of, we'll talk about this a bit later, but the reason we did this is that this seemed to be the most viable, most ready that would have a chance to redevelop, and also that the corridor and the backdrop of the wetlands sort of made it an ideal place to place it. We talked a lot about like what kind of development would it look like. So ultimately, when the recommendations are looked at later, they're talking about 6 to 7 stories potentially. The design of the structures are similar to Everybody Likes Maravita, which is in the town center, sort of the kind of the quality of the design and sort of how that looks. And so what we did is we took the 3 lots that are just north of the pond. So we'll go back one. So we're talking about lots 9, 8, 7, these 3 lots. What if somebody, this is just that nobody is proposing this or doing that, but what if those 3 lots were somehow assembled and developed? And so we did is we took kind of what we're looking for and see how would that look. And this includes also changes to the way the street looks, the kind of landscaping that's done. This doesn't show the parking in the street, but that's potential. The right of way here is still the same as exists in the corridor. And so this is sort of the look and feel that we're talking that could possibly be achieved in this area. So I'm just gonna go through these slides. This would be at the south, kind of looking back to the north, up to the sidewalk. When you get to the pond, I know this is pretty ambitious, but there is some thought that we could do some things with the boardwalk, or whether it goes all the way through or just has a little outlook, but you could somehow incorporate the pond to make it a lot more aesthetic and have it sort of interface with the new development that occurs. This is like stepping back and looking back the other direction. This is like looking North Creek Trail, looking up to the north and east. That shows how the path can maybe go across the pond. So that's kind of the kind of flavor we're thinking. It's to make the, even if it happens there, we would have design guidelines and things to make sure it was attractive and sort of fit in with what the character of Mill Creek is.
So Tom, could you back up one slide?
Yes, sir.
This shows 6 to 7 stories. And from a scale standpoint.
Yes, again, I might be in the wrong spot here. Okay.
So This orange building is 1, 2, 3. That's 5 over 1, correct?
Actually, it's 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then this is the one on the bottom, 37.
Okay. I didn't
see step it. Back the top two floors for people. That yeah, was one yeah, of the things the architect
were trying to keep the you know the height of the building sort of less impactful to the bottom. If you
oh, there's back. Okay, and this is in behind the cutout. Okay, well, you can't see my arrow, but okay, thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, perfect.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you guys for your patience.
Oh, thank you for making it better for all of us. That's perfect. Thank you.
Great. So by the way, the, there's no chat feature here. My number doesn't show up. There's no chat feature in the in there. So if that happens again, if you could set that up.
Yeah, I don't know what even how I can turn that on and off. I just set up a normal meeting. I certainly didn't turn off the chat. So okay. I'll have to look into that.
All right. I wanted to ask you a couple questions before you move forward. Is that all right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm a little curious. I believe that we have the population. We already accommodate the population of all the way up to, is it 2035? So if that's the case, why are we considering buying some or investing in so much more multifamily housing?
I'll give you a couple of answers. I think the main reason would be that this area is, at some point in the future, is going to be time to redevelop. It's sort of built in the 80s. And as it redevelops, I think the city wants to make sure that what happens is what the city wants to happen. So nobody's trying to force us into anybody. I think we're trying to decide whether or not this is what would be good for the city. And I've got a couple of slides coming up that show some, what some of those potential benefits would be. It's also those population targets are not static. They're we are right now going to have to redo our comprehensive plan in 2024, and there's a lot more population coming to the county. And so new targets are being discussed by the cities as far as who's going to accommodate that growth. In the previous time, there was lots of extra capacity for all the cities. And so even if the target wasn't one place, there's plenty of room to put all the growth. That's not the case this time. There's actually less growth or capacity based on the zoning that's in place for all the cities in the along the I-5 corridor. So there's going to have to be some changes made by certain cities, some cities. I'm not saying it has to be Mill Creek, but there are more people coming. And so it's something that, but I don't want people to think of this plan as though we have to take growth, so let's put it there. I think people need to look at this plan and decide, is this good for Mill Creek? Because if it's not, Mill Creek shouldn't do it. I think you have to look at it that way. It's not that this isn't being done just to meet our population targets. We're looking at how can we raise property taxes, generate revenues to keep our level of service high while we, and also how do we protect our single family homes? How do we have enough people that keep our businesses in Mill Creek, have enough customers to stay thriving as they're struggling with the online markets? And so if this were to happen, it would bring a lot of customers in, it would help business retention, it would provide an opportunity for new businesses as well. And I'll show some of those numbers later, but it isn't because we need to have multifamily. And then on a third angle is I think it's, if you read the newspaper, there really is a need for housing. They're just, the demand does not meet, or the demand exceeds supply.
And you mean there's a need for housing in Mill Creek or in Snohomish County? Which one?
In the entire Snohomish County, Mill Creek is, I mean, there's just a need. The demand is much higher than the supply in the county.
Yes. Yeah, I'm aware of that. I'm just wondering, does Mill Creek have the capacity to accommodate all these? How many more people would these buildings accommodate? What kind of population increase are you thinking of right now?
Okay, well, that gets long into the slides. So I think we're jumping ahead. So I'm just about to get there. There's some summary things. And then, as I mentioned, this is just an update as far as what's going on. The Planning Commission really doesn't get a bite at this apple until we get the plan put together. And then it goes through the formal review and approval process as part of the 2024 comprehensive plan. So I'm glad to answer lots of questions, but it's not something that we have to get comfortable with or approve or deny or criticize or too much today. So we'll go to the next slide. Okay, so again, this is a slide that we had before, but we crossed out the slide because the committee is actually going with the smaller, the 30%-ish level of change. And so we're talking, what would it look like? It would have mixed use on the bottom floor with residential or other commercial or office above. You'd start with a 6-story allowance. And if people wanted to go to the 7-story, there'd be a list or a menu of things that would have to be extra public amenities. As far as the number of units, it could be anywhere from 1,200 to 1,500 additional units. And it's an additional to more than what's existing, another 210 to 260,000 square feet of more commercial. And then if the kind of revenues that are generating sort of things, there'd be a lot of revenues that could provide things like improve the street, make it look better, improve the trail, public spaces, sort of make it more of a gateway instead of the back way in the town. Also, those monies are general fund revenues generally, and they can be spent throughout the city on other things as well. This is a summary of there is a very detailed document that's going to be attached to the recommendation at the request of the PAC, of the Planning Advisory Committee. And so, but these are sort of like the summary of it. And so this isn't going to happen overnight, even if it's adopted tomorrow. There are a lot of long-term leases and property values and the market and stuff. It's going to take a while for this to happen. So we're talking at least 20 years before we probably build out. Impact fees that are done as this comes up to help pay for transportation impacts and park impacts. We're talking about $21 million over the 20 period that's up to. That's up to that many dollars. So that would only be if the full area develops. So there's no guarantee that would happen, but that it could be up to that much. As property sells, we get a real estate excise tax. So we're talking up to another $7.5 million there. Property and sales tax revenues from the business, as well as the improvements of going from what's there, sort of the improvements or the increment above that, another $16.5 million over the 20 to 25 year period. And then the property values would be obviously the increase with the higher level of improvements. So those are the sort of things as far as the kind of revenues or sort of that would come into the city that would help offset some of the other impacts of the development.
Hey Tom, I have a quick question on the revenues here. The property and sales tax would be an annual revenue. Is the projected REIT taxes just for the original purchase of what is existing?
You know what? I believe so. And I'll find out the answer to that. But I think it's sort of it is expected that these properties would do the one-time sale. And then if there are units like condos or stuff, that may also be included in there. But I'm not positive.
Got it.
That's a great question.
Tom, what is the current height level? Is that 35 right now, 35 feet or 45 feet? For?
In the commercial area, it's 60 feet, and in the business park, it's 50 feet. So even without, if it all went commercial, there is quite a bit of height available, even in existing zone districts. It's more expensive kind of construction. And to park it, usually you would have to do underground parking. And so right now, the property values and the type of uses that are in there would not support that. It wouldn't pencil out. So that's one of the things we did talk about a lot as a part of the PAC, is that if we really want development to happen like this, we talked to some people, said, well, let's just have 3 stories of residential because that would be more in character, and then you wouldn't have so much. The idea is that you can put that in there, but nobody's going to build it because it's not going to pencil out. There's not enough of an incentive to knock down a working building that's generating revenues, tear out all the infrastructure, put all the infrastructure in. There has to be some sort of an increment in between of what would take to make something happen. And so that's what our economists recommended as far as what it would take. Okay, so these are some other sort of benefits. Would be more residents and more customers, helps the businesses. Housing options to fit people, more options. So people that live in Mill Creek already that want to downsize, they're retiring, entry-level professionals, more places to go, more things to do, help improve stormwater as these properties redevelopment. Right now we have a lot of unfiltered or untreated water going into the creek. So as these redevelopment, that improve our environment as far as the water quality. It'd support the transit that's coming. And when this here for protection of the single family neighborhoods, I think the sort of the impetus behind that is if the targets mean show that we have to rezone our properties or take accommodate more growth to get us to 2044. Right now the numbers are we're gonna probably need to take another 2,500 people or so. And some of the preliminary numbers, they certainly haven't been set yet. That would help us do that, and it would help us put it here as opposed to closer to single family homes. So that would be one argument. But I don't want you, as far as staff goes, and as far as the planning advisor committee, again, I want to say that nobody is trying to say, well, we're getting this number from the county, so we have to put it here, so let's put it there. I'm saying, I think we should think about it as, is this what we want from the city of Mill Creek? I mean, that really needs to be the bottom line.
I might have missed this at the beginning when I'm fiddling with my audio, but are these all market rate housing or is it mixed?
Right now it is all just the zoning. It's just an idea of how many units, how the market plays it out or who builds it, whether it's rented or ownership. It's too early for that. We're talking about we would set up zones that would allow this kind of use to happen, and we would have all the standards and design guidelines. And so anybody that wanted to come and build it, they'd have to build it a certain way, and how they decided to market it or finance it isn't determined here.
Okay. Well, it's also a question of being able to project with some sense of reality. If you look back over the last 10 or 15 years, the markets have been so volatile in terms of housing that who would have guessed 15 years ago that we'd be where we are now? The demand and the prices going up. So looking ahead 15, 20 years is somewhat problematic.
It is. I think that one thing that if you look backwards, the projections from the OFM as far as how many people are coming to the state have been fairly accurate. Just super, super close, within a few percent. So I think the people are coming and the need for housing is there. Whether or not they'll One of the problems with ownership units is there's some sort of liability for legal reasons about condominiums and ownership. And so sometimes they build them as rentals, and then if they get to a certain point, people convert them to condos after the fact. But that those problems can be solved in the legislature, and who knows what's going to happen in the next 20 years. But as far as the city is concerned, how they get built and the quality of the construction, it doesn't matter whether it's a condominium or an apartment. It's all the same. So anyway, so the next slide as part of our discussions about property taxes and sort of behind some of those revenue projections that are on the earlier slides, it shows in the city of Mill Creek, we looked around at the various shopping centers and we found that the mixed use type model, especially including the Maravita in that model, it shows that the average property taxes are much higher in that kind of an environment than a typical strip commercial. And so that's what the purpose of that slide is. And that was done a while ago, but I think that would still hold true. And then we did another item. This is the town center, the three-story office building, Mill Creek Boulevard Subway, like a typical industrial parcel. That's the one on the far left. And the one on the right is the five-story Maravita building, as far as what their values are per acre or per unit. I'm not sure what the unit is in there. I don't know what that is. It's $20,000. It's not an acre. Maybe it's per unit. I don't know. I'll find out what that is. But anyways, it's a much higher value for the mixed use, more dense, vertical kind of a development. Okay, so what I'm gonna do now is I'm going to get out of that presentation. I'm gonna minimize it because I need it again. And I go through the document itself. Did you all have a chance to read the document?
Yes.
Okay, and it has, did it switch for you? Are you seeing the new document on the screen?
I'm seeing the new document on the screen.
Okay. Okay, so in the beginning here, what we wanted to do is, since there was 2 years of work to get to this point, was to try to summarize the work that was done in the actual recommendation document. So it's sort of a standalone thing. I mean, obviously there's a lot more to it. And the committee actually last night asked us to, when this goes forward, to include some of the technical documents as appendices and actually attach them for those that want to dig deeper. So we're going to go ahead and do that. They also asked us at the end of the last night's meeting that it would show up here is that we're going to have a little tiny executive summary that like a 3 or 4 sentence one that says we reviewed things and we're recommending that the city council consider some changes in the next comprehensive plan. And then also put down the names of the people that were on the committee right here at the very top. So that's not on here. That's actually still at the end of the document on this presentation, but that's one of the things they asked to do. And then what we did here is we sort of put down the justification of the impetus of why we did this. And again, these areas are going to redevelop at some point in the future. We're going to spend a lot of money rebuilding the road soon. Light rail has come already nearby, and another line is going to go over all the way to the light rail station in Linwood. So with these sort of factors changing the market, you know, what do we really want to have happen here? As these redevelopment, do we want a business park to go in there, which is allowed by the zoning, or do we want to change the zoning, maybe allow something a little more intense? And again, it's not up to me to decide or even the PAC to decide. It's going to be up to the city council to decide as part of the comp plan. But we're trying to put something together to consider and put down the information so they can make that decision. Let's see here. Talks about here how we hired OTAC to help us out. The committee that we has 3 council members, 3 planning commissioners. At the time, I think we lost Dan towards the end there. One of our commissioners resigned, so he hasn't been participating. So we ended up with 2 at the end. Some residents and business owners, Tim Panos, who is a property owner in here that owns the Safeway or the Mill Creek Plaza Shopping Center, as well as the south half of Town Center, also participated in this. We wanted to get sort of the owner's perspective. So we met 8 or 9 times over the 2 years period, and we had a year in the middle. It was supposed to go much quicker, but we had a year in the middle that we didn't meet because of the pandemic.
Hey, Tom, did you say that, did I catch you right, that one of the folks owned half of the town center, the south half of the town center?
Yes, Panos Property.
Okay.
And, Tim Panos is the owner, and we wanted to have his perspective because whatever we do, obviously, will impact that.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And so let's go right down to what there's 10 different recommendations that are in here. The first one was to allow a mix of uses where redevelopment is desired. So any zone changes you make here would not require the property to be redone. So if a property didn't want to, they wouldn't have to, they would keep it the way it is. And so what it says is we're gonna allow the mixed-use development on the west side of the boulevard. It'd be located next to the North Creek corridor. That's blocking the area change, keeping the density near the core of the city. And then these numbers here are up to numbers. It says, instead of saying could be, it's going to say up to could be. 200,000 square feet of commercial, 150 or 1,500 dwelling units potentially. Also, impact fees of up to $20 million and property sales taxes. So these are all the reasons that are considered sort of benefits or the reason why we might want to upzone or change the property land use. Parcel 20, which is, if you went back to the map, that's the Safeway Shopping Center. There was a lot of discussion about including that one. It's right at the corner of the highway. There's a lot of potential for there. But with the concurrence of Tim Panos, the property owner, they have a lot of long-term leases that are kind of extend beyond the 20-year window. And so that, and also the group saying we wanted to keep it at 30% and not the 50%, it was decided not to include that parcel at this time. So we wanted to acknowledge that in this document. Although certainly the comp plan process, something could always be proposed at a later date. The second recommendation was to allow 6 to 7 stories, six sort of using just the zoning and design guidelines, it could still be a high quality product, but if you wanted the extra story, you could have like a menu of different items that could, like public amenities that you would do to try to get that extra density. And the reason that it's 6 to 7 stories is because, as I mentioned, the economist says that there is that you need to have that much of a increment as far as increased value of the property for them to give up something that's already operating and having to take the site down for the period of time it takes to develop it and building structure. And it's just not going to happen unless there's some significant difference in the intensity.
Tom, are they going to have, did you say they're going to have underground parking there?
It would almost have to be, absolutely. You would have to have an underground parking to handle the parking for this kind of density, yes.
Is that going to be a problem close to North Creek?
What's that?
Is that going to be a structural problem close to North Creek next to the water?
Well, there's engineering can solve almost everything. So it may increase the cost of construction. The dirt underneath it is glacial till, but the water level is high. So yes, so you'd have to accommodate that in there. And we had that issue in Town Center with some of the underground parking. In fact, if you're in the Creekside building, most of you can kind of hear water running in there, even though it's not raining, because there's a system to capture that water and pump it out. So
that shouldn't be a problem with flooding then? It's manageable?
We wouldn't allow it to happen unless they figured a way to solve it. So yes, almost everything can be engineered out. But yeah, it would be consideration in doing construction. So that's why that's why it's not 3 stories or 4 stories, and that's sort of the level that it takes to make it happen if you want it to happen. The third was the importance of design guidelines. We use design guidelines in Town Center and in East Gateway, and that greatly impacted the design of those buildings and how they look and how they orient to the community and how the parking is handled and hidden behind things. So in the materials that are used. So that's important that if we do that, that we have that here as well. And we feel that we've been successful with those kind of standards. It's really important because it lets the developers know what's expected going forward, lets them know what the community expects. And we have success, I believe, in doing that already. The next four was to require, if it happens, is to improve what's there and make it give us some more. So public spaces and amenities with the new development. Right now, it's kind of minimal as far as the trail just comes through there. So they can get near to be built. You want to have plazas. You want to do improvements to the North Creek Trail. You can put a little amphitheater back in there somewhere along the way. There's a lot of things that could happen. We haven't looked as far as what those would be that you want to make that it'd be a great place to be in pedestrian order.
Tom, is there any way you could pull up the sub area, the map, so we could see where that would actually take place?
This one. So we're talking about the trail runs all through here along the back. So you could do improvements into here. And then there's all along the frontage here and within the development itself, you would incorporate public plazas and things. So similar to, you haven't been in the farm yet, but there's some areas there that are going to be really nice. And we have some of that, making the wide sidewalks and areas that would be publicly available.
Okay, so I, like I said, the malfunction, I didn't get to hear the very beginning part, but the part in the red, does that mean they're going to be building on that and making it into that big structure that we had said, that you had already mentioned, or are they going to tear this all down and start all over again?
Well, again, the city wouldn't be developing or tearing down anything. We would be setting rules in place that would allow a private property owner, if they wanted to do this kind of development. at their choosing. So yeah, so the area in the red is the areas that will be proposed as a potential changing the zoning. If the council decides to put that plan together, it'll be considered as part of the comp plan. And that's what the group, the planning advisory committee, is deciding. As it goes forward in the comp plan proposal, the council and the planning commissions have to look at it too, could say, well, that's not appropriate. We could add another parcel, or maybe we should take one out, or I think the 58% is better as it gets into that process. But right now, what's being proposed by the planning advisory committee is that it'd be limited to the area in the orange line.
So there's really not any clear direction whether they would, and of course it's up to the owner whether they want to do that with the land or not. But if they do are open to it, and if the Mill Creek passes it, do they know if they're going to be using that same foundation, the same infrastructure, or tearing everything down and starting from scratch?
Well, to implement what we're talking about, they'd have to basically tear the whole thing down and start from scratch, from the stormwater system all the way up.
Okay.
Hey, Tom.
You may want to talk about, for Councilmember Gabel, the stormwater limitations right now. Those properties, because they're so close to North Creek and they have 1980 stormwater, they can't really redevelop under today's rules. So we're very much, it looks like that forever, or we look at something different that's economic to be rebuilt.
So yeah. That's the reason for the new infrastructure and everything. Okay.
Yeah, in fact, I didn't want to dive too deep, but since the chair brought it up, right now we worked with the Department of Ecology several years ago to adopt an ordinance. It got all the way through the Planning Commission after a public hearing, and it's sitting on the shelf waiting for the council to consider at a later date. And what it says is that if you completely improve the stormwater to the current system, and if the buffer isn't in good shape, you make the buffer better, that you can stay within the existing impervious surface footprint of what is there. And so we worked with ecology, and they said the benefit of getting the stormwater fixed was good enough, or an incentive enough for them to think that that was a good idea. And so we went over to that point, but the council, at the recommendation of staff as well, decided that you shouldn't adopt that, because if you do that now, somebody can knock it down and put it in mini storage or something. So it's sort of sitting on hold, sort of in the hole, like in baseball, like they're on deck. It's ready to come up the plate when it's ready. But if we were to adopt that ordinance and adopt these sort of things, it would allow that to happen. If somebody wanted to come in today without that ordinance, knock something down and build something new, then we would have to draw the buffers from the larger buffers than was back in 1980 when these were developed. And only about half or even less of those lots would even be developed. So right now they're kind of in a de facto moratorium as far as redevelopment, because nobody's gonna tear something down if they don't have anything left to build on when they do.
Sure. And can you tell me where City Hall is in relation to all those?
City Hall is right, well, City Hall north. And City Hall south is here.
Yeah. Okay. I was actually going to ask, was there any particular reason why the City Hall buildings were included in this assessment?
Why they were included?
Yeah.
Well, they were included because of the characteristics of the property being on the west side. It met the same lot sizes as long as the corridor. Yeah, there was no consideration of ownership as far as doing it. We just happened to be there.
Got it.
And these buildings, for example, City Hall, are they in dilapidated? Are they in need of reconstruction? Are we tearing down a pretty new building? I think it's pretty new, at least.
Well, it's not new. It's a tilt-up concrete industrial building. Nobody is tearing anything down.
I mean, if all this gets approved and the landowners agree with it, down the road, it can take 20 years to get it all done anyway.
What I'm saying, well, that would, well, let's say it happened. Well, the city property, well, city wouldn't have a downside because they don't pay property tax. So there's, even though the zoning were changing and the value of the property would go up, there would not be a financial burden on the city for having that happen. But the city would then have options if it decided it wanted to potentially build a different city hall or sell the property and build it somewhere else on cheaper land and make a financial decision on that. That's something that would be an option, but that is not part of this project. I mean, but that is certainly, as a landowner, you certainly can sell property and you can certainly buy property. Okay, so we'll go back.
And just because we were on the topic of stormwater, I finished a meeting with the Salmon Recovery Council earlier today. They had a scientist from the Bellevue Ecology Department on there. I guess there's studies that certain chemicals are being leached off of tires that are going into our river system and in turn killing the salmon. Anyway, long story short, they developed a very inexpensive system comprised of these tubes they called burritos filled with sand and compost that filtered out all these contaminants. And for a standard one, kind of like the size of the pond that you see on the map here, it would be about $4,000 or $5,000 to retrofit that, to include that. So interesting tidbit.
Yeah. Yeah, they're always coming up with new things, that's for sure.
Right.
Okay, I'm gonna go off this again and go back to the other. Is that okay? Are you ready? Okay. I'll keep it available though if we need it. Okay, so the design guidelines are real important. Amenities, making the place better, not just knocking things down and building them up, but also improve the frontage and provide the public things. Recommendation number five was to require the streetscape in the sub area to support movement of pedestrians, bikes, and automobiles. So we're talking right now, it's not that friendly for bicycles. The sidewalk isn't that great, so we're talking about wider sidewalks. More take that town center feel and run it throughout the corridor. Let's see here. Focus on safety improvements. So that was talked about quite a bit. Condition six, and this is a real big one, and this is actually be a big change from our comprehensive plan. Right now in our comprehensive plan, we have a project discussed about making two left turn lanes that would go into Mill Creek Boulevard, and then have two lanes go down and then sort of come into one when you get to the Bank of America building to accommodate all that traffic that's cutting through. And so what this says is if this were to happen, you'd have to probably have two lanes turning left from 164th or some other engineering, but that's sort of what comes to in my mind. So you want the people that are going to cut through traffic to not cut through Mill Creek Boulevard. You want them to go to the highway and make a left. And so we'd have to come up with design engineering ways to make it more of a hassle to do the cut through so that the road functions with less traffic, slower traffic, it would serve the area. Because right now you couldn't have this kind of development and still have all that cut through traffic going through. So this would be a big change.
Tom, could you talk a little bit more just on this one? And I'm obviously it's probably been talked a lot at the other committee. So with the idea of reducing cut through in the committee, I would have thought that you'd want people coming through so that then they'd be more likely to stop and shop at those say new businesses that would open up at the bottom floor of these new developments. I'm kind of curious as to whether that was discussed at all or
it was. Yeah, so you want people to come in and deal with a little bit of the hassle of getting in there if they want to go there, yes. But the people that are on their way home, you find it easier to make a left there and then go straight across and up the hill on the Village Green Drive. Those people, it should be more of a hassle to try to do that than it is to just go to the highway and go the way the main roads go. So yeah, so we want to make sure that you still have access and the people that have the businesses there, but that's what the traffic should be going for. It shouldn't be easy to just to slide through there, just shave, you know, a minute off your commute time.
One of the points that the PAC talked about on that was just on-street parking, is it parallel parking, angled parking, all that kind of thing. Those are all decisions to be made in the future to help, you know, with that retail lower floor business being accessible and successful.
Yeah, other engineering things you could do would have the raised sort of sidewalks that sort of make it hard to drive through there real fast. You could time the lights so that if you go that way, you got to sit a little while. So there are a number of things that could be that could happen that are engineering solutions to just make it so it's more of a hassle to go that way than the other. I mean, you still want to fight your way through there, you're still going to be able to do it. We're not going to cut the road off. But it should be there to serve the people who are there and not just an easy way to get through. So that is a big change, though, from our existing comprehensive plan and the way our traffic, we had thought about the traffic in the past. Let's see, is this the right one? Okay, well, I'll go back. Sorry, make sure I get this back. Okay, so seek public improvement partnerships. This one, actually, the committee last night made some changes. I think what it says here is to look for a chance to help have people help us do these improvements, sort of share the burden of the cost. And that's important, but I think what the committee really wanted us to do, and we're going to rewrite this, is that maybe we should look to do some of these improvements ahead of time to sort of incentivize the development sooner rather than later, and not just wait for it to happen as the development happens. Because we have to live with that road. If it's a 20-year plan, we really want to wait 20 years for it to look better. And so the city maybe could do some, get some partnerships, some grants, maybe do that work sooner. So we got to get that sort of part of the recommendation into here. But that, did I capture that right, Matt? Or Chair Nolan, excuse me?
Yes, yes. No, I mean, I think what the public works people brought up was that that road's going to be repaved as we do that. Well, we have an eye towards this future. Would we look to spend a little bit of money or grant money, you know, to do some of the updated streets, which is very popular with grants in the public works arena right now. And so they were going, okay, if we're going to do this, that would make it something that actually probably could save city taxpayers money by getting a grant from, you know, state or the feds to do some improvements there. It was a good piece of input.
Yeah, and if you do things like that, if you build it, they will come. I mean, if we really want something to happen, if we sort of spur it up by making it look nice on the front to start with, that may be enough to kind of kickstart it or sort of show the city's serious about improving the area. Okay, number eight, surface water. Again, surface water is a big issue in this area. It's a big hindrance to redevelopment with the current zoning, just because it costs so much to upgrade it or retrofit. So we're talking about maybe potentially a regional strategy, and that would mean, like, we looked at a couple alternatives in the studies. One of them was even including you could bury a vault somewhere, like on the road or on the Nuclear Plaza property or something like that, something that was big enough to handle all the stormwater, put it underneath parking, and then pipe it there and run it somewhere else. I mean, that's just a number of different ways you could look at it. And there's a lot of grant money apparently available for stormwater retrofits and improvements. So just to look at that, because if we could sort of handle the stormwater in a regional fashion, it would really be beneficial. It'd take the cost of development way down, and it would be a big incentive for something to happen.
Tom, if they considered having and is this possible to have a stormwater vault underneath the park if you guys were going to build a park?
Yep. Yeah, in fact, a lot of the vaults and private properties with the small parks, a lot of them build them on top of the vaults to try to get double the use out of that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an easy solution, as a matter of fact.
So anyway, so regional stormwater, no matter what we do out there, stormwater is going to have a big influence.
When you say there's a sub-regional, can you explain what area that means?
Well, what you would do is... the water kind of goes downhill. So you find a place to build one big thing instead of 10 little things. So that would be the region. So you would try to bring the water there, and then you could build it, and then you could have a latecomers fee so that as people hooked up to it, they would pay back the person or the city or the private properties that put it in, so that it would be paid for over time. But it's a way to sort of build one thing instead of a bunch of little ones. So the region would be the sub-area plan, basically the bottom of this bowl here. These are the boundaries of the sub-area.
Okay.
Let's see. Eight. Is that eight right there? I'm sorry. Yes, we're almost to the end. Nine. Evaluate the land uses desired in the corridor. And what this really is saying is we're going to take a look at, as part of this exercise, we're going to look at the zoning, and we're going to talk about scratching the things we don't want. So we'll put the things in we do want, and there's some things in there now that we might not want to come in here. And so that's what this is talking about. And then 10, and I think it was a really good idea, is the first thing they said, this is a really great thing, but to make sure we engage the stakeholders, community, business, property owners, basically anybody that's going to be around here, make sure that we, as we go through the comp plan, make sure they're engaged, but we should move this up to make it number one. Now, they're not in any priority, but it shouldn't look, if it's number 10, it looks like they thought of it last, but it really isn't. So let's move it up to number one and renumber everything else from adjust it down. So we're going to move that number 10 up to number one.
Tom, how do you guys plan to do that to involve the local community?
Well, when we go through the comp plan process, there's a robust public participation component that we have to do because of state law. What we've usually done it is we advertise the planning commission meetings. It's about a year and a half process to go through a comp plan, and this is going to be a major component of it. So it'll also be on our website, and you know, we really haven't designed that. We're not to that point yet, but we're going to need to put together a public participation sort of attract attention, basically.
Like quorums and our forums and
forums, open houses. The planning commission itself is probably the most common one. Is your monthly meetings that talk about this, advertising on Facebook. You know, we're going to be talking about this. There are a lot of things we can do. We haven't done a lot of fancy things in the past, but a lot of jurisdictions do. It sort of depends on the resources that we budget to doing those sort of things. But it won't be done in a vacuum, and it won't be done in a back room. I can guarantee you that. And I think when anytime you talk about a comprehensive plan change, and if you're really changing like little tiny things, oftentimes the public doesn't really notice. But I think when we talk about what we're talking about here, I think the public's going to be engaged. I think they're going to notice. A lot of times, just making sure we get the information out to the press to make sure that they are engaged as well, make sure that they're following it, because I think that's. Everybody gets that dropped on their door on a weekly or monthly basis. And the next part here, we're just talking about like what are the next steps. And I've already sort of gave that away is we're going to take this recommendation document to the city council. Three of the council members were already on the committee, so they're familiar with it, but there are four that are not or have not been involved. So we're going to have to kind of dig a little deeper than what I did tonight with the council, provide some of those studies. We'll have a consultant there for that to help us to help present those things. And what we're going to try to get is a nod from the council to say, okay, we don't necessarily agree with the plan. We're not deciding on the plan, but we would like you to put together something for us to consider as part of our comprehensive plan. Because we haven't even written the plan yet. For one thing, we have not done environmental analysis on it. We haven't had public input. We haven't done any hearings. The planning commission hasn't weighed in on it. So what we're trying to do is prepare basically what will be an application, a component of the comp plan for us to consider along with anything else that we have to change. And so that's pretty much what we talked about. I think that let me invite the planning commissioners that were members, Dave and Matt. Do you guys want to talk about the process or include something that I didn't cover appropriately, or correct me if I was wrong? Anything?
Dave, any comments?
Yeah, this is Dave. No, I think you did a pretty good job covering it. It was a lot of work, and there was a long time between meetings, and Tom and Mandy with OTAC did a lot of work between the meetings, and I was sort of surprised it came together as quick as it did. It had to, you know, we had a goal line we were trying to get across. So
I would just add, I mean, the committee looked at a lot broader set of options and opportunities, and they brought in, you know, the economic people, and I think having the business owner there and the economic people really allowed us to hone in on what are some potential futures that actually could happen, you know. And it was interesting to do it in the pandemic. And I think our council members did a great job of, you know, thinking about, you know, the long term of the city and the political elements of it. And the consultant did a really nice job of looking and presenting lots of different options to us. And so as we as a planning commission move forward, and I felt very honored to be on it, it'll be interesting, you know, there'll be bits and pieces of that information. Questions have come up and we'll be able to go back to, as Tom said, the appendices and go, oh, okay, this is what they thought about that. Or, you know, here's what the economics were. So it was a very enlightening process for me.
Okay, well, I guess that concludes my update. Unless there's
anything. You had item B on the work session was potential code amendments regarding fence setbacks in medium density residential zone. Is that?
Yes, that's the second thing. And let me introduce Justin here. A few of you were on the online earlier, and Justin's our new associate planner and building permit coordinator. And I'm going to tell you that Sherry retired, but basically, Justin took Sherry's position, and so this is the first time he'll get a chance to present to the commission. An issue came up over the last few months, and we'd like to clarify the code, and we don't really have a proposal or haven't written it up exactly yet, but I think we wanted to share the concept and get Justin in front of the commission here, give you guys something else to think about besides just an update. So I'm going to hand it over to Justin, if that's okay.
Hello, everybody. It's a pleasure to meet you all. The presentation I have to share is not nearly as important as what Tom is going over, but I'll try to get through pretty quickly. Let me share the screen here. All right. Can you all see that that PowerPoint?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Great.
Thank you.
All right. So first, a little bit of there we go. A little bit of background. So this will be about fence setbacks on a code gray area we found. So first, what is a setback? It's basically the distance between, or the minimum distance you need to have from a structure you build to your property line. And most of the zones in Mill Creek, especially the, you know, the residential zones, they have setback requirements on all sides of the property. Fences are somewhat unique in that you can ignore the setbacks on the side and the rear of the properties. They can go right on the property line. However, they can't ignore the front setbacks, the setback from the street on the, in the front of the property. And that's for aesthetic reasons. And a little side note is that some properties can have two front yards, technically, where if they're on a corner where they have two, you know, there's two streets, each of those street facing sides counts as a front yard. All right, so currently in our low density zone, the front yard setbacks are 20 feet. So you can't build your fence within 20 feet of the street. However, there's an exception for corner lots. So those corner lots would normally, if that 20 foot setback applied, you couldn't build the fence within 20 feet on two sides of the property. So in the code, there is an exception for those corner lots to where you can have the fence on the side where there's no driveway, you can build 10 feet from the street. And the reason for that is that without that exception, you wouldn't be able to use a pretty significant portion of your yard. And so we've traditionally allowed that 10-foot exception for fences. And it doesn't really create much of an aesthetic concern. I'm going to show you an example here in a second. A recent example, that there's a fence built here last year in the neighborhood of Sweetwater Ranch. So if you look at this property here, technically they have two front yards because they have 2 yards abutting the streets. So this fence that they built normally, currently the way it was built with the exception, it's 10 feet here from the street. If the exception did not apply, they would only have been able to fence in this small area. And you can see if you compare this, the house on the other side, that's a pretty small yard that's allowed within a fenced area. So we allow this thing to build closer to the street on the side without a driveway so they can really make use of their property for a private backyard. And if you look at it, it really doesn't make a huge, it's not a huge aesthetic concern. It looks like, to me at least, it looks pretty nice. It's still a good distance from the street. It doesn't feel claustrophobic. So I think it's a good compromise there. So the issue we ran into was in our medium density zones, there's no exception for those corner lots, which is kind of strange because the medium density lots are usually smaller. And so without that exception, they actually, they don't have much room for their yards to build on. So here's an example we have. This is actually what brought it to our attention in Crespi Village. A property owner wanted to build a fence on the property. If you look here, so here's the house. And then the light blue line is the fence that he wanted to build. And so the minimum setback in that property was 15 feet, which would have put the fence all the way at the house here. They basically could not have built the fence here. There was no room. Well, with the setback, they were able to have, to fence in some of that yard and get a walkway so they can get to the backyard from the front yard. There we go. So what we want to propose is that we want to make that corner lot exception apply to all of the residential zones equally, not just the low density zone. Are there any questions from you guys?
I do, Justin. So mm-hmm. If you could just educate me this. So the line, the property line for the fence line, is that about right next to the sidewalk then? There's just the sidewalk separating the fence from the street?
No, this drawing isn't perfectly to scale like the other one was.
Yeah,
there's 10 feet from the sidewalk. So you've got the street and then this, and then the planting strip with the trees and then the sidewalk. And then they've got the full 10 feet to the fence.
Okay.
So it's not right up on the street. There's still a good gap to allow, a little bit of space.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to meet the criterion for safe traffic?
Yes, they still have to meet on the corner. They have no fence or structure can be higher than, I think it's 36 inches or so. So yeah, there's no traffic issues. The sight lines have to be maintained. And especially since they have to maintain the full setback on that front yard, by the time it's pushed back there, even if you have only 10 feet here, the sight lines are fine because it's been pushed back from the front here.
So is that blue line on the lower side of the garage, that's as far forward as it can be because it lines up with the front of the house over by the 2518B?
They could have built a little bit closer. Well, it's hard to say because this isn't perfectly a scale. They're allowed 15 feet from 23rd Avenue here. And I think they're back 20 feet.
Okay.
But what we found was this exception has been in place for, I don't know for how long, but it's been probably in the code since the LDR zone was created. And there hasn't been any issues in the low density zones. And so we thought it would just be equitable and to just apply to all the zones equally because it's worked well in low density zones, hasn't been an issue. And we thought if it's working well there, let's just apply it everywhere else. Let the people, enjoy a little more, private yard space.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Justin, what's the difference between the medium and the low density zones in terms of the setbacks?
They're fairly similar. The front setbacks in the medium density zones are between 15 and 20 feet, and the low density zones are 20 feet. So it's pretty similar. And what we ran into was that I think when the medium density zones were created, we didn't envision quite as many single family or not single, but detached houses. So in Crespi Village, they were all built as detached houses. And that's where it came up because they wanted to, fence their property in for some privacy. And the setback was just it took up too much space. They couldn't actually use any of that yard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anybody else?
Good job. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, thanks.
This is an introduction and it will come back to us for a recommendation at some point in the future then.
Yes, we'll have to draft, you know, a code change that's, you know, get the language down. It's just a proposal to see what you guys think, if it's being, you know, if it's something you'd consider.
Looks reasonable to me.
Any other questions or comments then? Right, thank you, Justin.
Move to adjourn is always in order.
Yeah. We have for the good of the order, so I do that for Tom. Anything for the good of the order? Dave's got his hand up.
Dave's got his hand up.
Well, I put my hand up. I've been on this board for about a year, and we've had the Zoom meetings, and I hardly feel like I know anybody whatsoever. Could we sort of go around the room here and give a little bit of each person's background? So they're just faces on the screen at this point in time.
Thank you, Dave. It's nice to be acknowledged. I know myself, and I think, is it Jose? Are you new here too? Are you the new one? There's another new person on the commission. I don't remember who that was.
It's John.
Well,
I'm new as of 2021, so
okay.
Still same with Dave, yeah.
All righty.
I came into 2020, yeah.
Well, okay. Nice to meet you all. I'm Pietra Gable. This is my first planning commission meeting, and it's nice to be here. I am a little bit, would like to know a little bit more if the planning commission ever meets extra to talk things out, or is there an option to do that just so we can get more familiar with this off the record?
So can I answer that? You are a legislative body, so there's nothing that prevents you from talking to your fellow members, but you can't do it with more than three people, because once you talk business at four, you're in a quorum, and that needs to be done in a public setting. So we're not going to steal it. But there's nothing wrong from you calling up the chair or any one of your members and bouncing ideas off of that. As far as extra meetings, there are times it will probably happen during the comprehensive plan where, let's see, Stan's been here long enough to know, and they met too. I think in 2015, there were times when we met more than once a month. We would have special meetings just because there's too much to do and not enough time to do it. There's a state deadline of when you have to adopt your comprehensive plan. So there is a possibility that there would be extra meetings, but generally we try to, we would rather have one longer meeting than to have two shorter meetings if we can swing. So
I would also add that the one critical area, as far as the attorneys are concerned, has to do with meeting and the criteria for special meetings and what's private and what's public and how much trouble can you get into if you take a public meeting as private. And I would suggest that the League of Washington Cities has a whole packet of materials that we might get and distribute to our new commissioners so that we don't run into any problems.
We already went through training. We were given extensive training already. I think a couple.
Yeah, the short course. I think everybody has taken the short course, if I'm not mistaken.
No. I've taken it three times.
Wow.
And I still learn new stuff.
Yes. Yeah, and staff will be really, if there's a special meeting, we can call it. We just have to post it, I think, 24 hours ahead of time. We usually give the whole week's notice, like we normally do, give you time to review the materials, but we just have to make sure that we follow the rules advertised as our code requires us to.
Matt, I'll be getting hold of you if that's okay with you.
Yep.
Happy to answer any questions. Yeah. Okay, so you asked you a little bit, or Dave's question was, so I've been on the planning commission for more than 10 years now, I think. Been in Mill Creek for, I don't want to know how long. It's my fixer house. We're still fixing up. So I always joke with my wife, it's our long-term flip. Yeah, that's it. But no, I've found the planning commission very enjoyable. I have a background in both public works and transportation and in wastewater. And I've done comp plan work for other agencies when I was there, worked there. So I kind of dabble in this on the side through work, but I really enjoy the planning commission. We're an amazingly blessed city to have the great staff that we do. And, you know, council that's very much involved in how do we maintain the look and feel of the city that, you know, brought so many of us here. And it isn't what it's going to look like tomorrow. It's what is it going to look like a decade or two decades from now? And that's really what we have to keep in mind as we look at these things, is how do we invest for the future and how do we keep our city competitive with the other little cities? You know, we're never going to be Bothell. We're not going to be Seattle. But how do we make ourselves unique and enjoyable? And I enjoy that interaction and learn from every one of our planning commission meetings. So, and thank you very much for electing me chair. I'll try and serve you all well.
And on that note, I'd like to thank the commission for the support that they've given me as chair for the last, couldn't believe it, 11 years of growing old.
Who wants to go next?
I'll step up since I asked the question. So I'm Dave Hambleton. I've lived in the Silver Lake area for about 43 years now. I'm a retired Boeing employee. I spent 40 years over at Boeing, and I spent about 18 years on the Snohomish County Planning Commission. I had one tour of duty, and then I got asked, and I actually went back for a second tour of duty. So that talks about my sanity here. And I'm on the Design Review Board in Mill Creek and a couple other county boards and commissions. So that's how I'm spending my retirement time. And I also volunteer over at the Museum of Flight Restoration Center.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm Stan Eisner. And if you think you're crazy for what you've been through, I'm a retired city manager, retired planner and planning consultant, and friend of those who need no friends.
I guess I'll take a next cut up. The name's Jose Brundes. I've lived in Mill Creek now for about nine years now. And so I just joined the Planning Commission at the beginning of this year. And was very interested in it over multiple years. Finally got a chance to join. And so my background is I work as an engineer within Boeing. So that's kind of been working there for 14 years. And so that's kind of my background.
I think Sean, you're last.
Yeah, I guess I'll go up. Yeah, last man standing. Sean Paddock, I've been up in Mill Creek for, I guess it's 8 years now, just about 8 years. We live in the Parks neighborhood. My wife is a middle school principal now. Adam, I think when I met you, she was an elementary school principal, but she's changed school. She's up at North Middle School, and that's very interesting right now. In any event, my background, I work with Dell Technologies. I've been doing IT strategy and consulting around cloud and software for the last, 15 years, and I'm dedicated to Boeing right now. So Jose, apologies for any IT snafus that we happen to cause there in your environment.
I was in the facilities organization at Boeing, so everybody hates us.
Awesome.
Yeah. I was a yards and parking planner for quite a few years also. Nobody likes the yards and parking planner.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, I'll have to really up my game and get the chat thing to work next time. So I'll figure that out. We've got IT here at City Hall. I can probably do that. But if that doesn't work, Sean, I may be giving you a call.
You bet. My billing rates are very low.
Yeah. Well, you're a volunteer here. So, yeah. Perfect billing rate.
So anything else for the good of the order, Tom?
Oh, did we get Phil Trout? I'm not sure if I know. Maybe I missed it.
I could give you a little bio. I'm a policy analyst, and I got involved because one of my clients was another city in Snohomish that asked me to write an assortment, or as many as I can, options for, I can't think of the word. For codes, for ordinances to create for affordable housing and in their area and zoning. And so I created a myriad of over 50 different topics on affordable housing for both the planning commissioners and the city council to consider, and also a white paper on homelessness. And that's how I got acquainted. I used to be a legislative analyst with the Institute of Real Estate Management as well. And right now I'm working in policy in other areas.
Great. Good.
Thank you.
Got a lot of really good backgrounds for a planning commission. I'm impressed. I have a couple things if nobody else has anything. Actually, I've got five things. So, are you guys ready?
Go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, the first thing is that our previous associate planner, Sherry Rainstead, did retire last May. So she didn't, her last meeting that she was here, she didn't, she, I don't know if you knew she was going to retire, but that was her last meeting. So she's enjoying her retirement, and I've seen her several times. Anyways, so you won't be seeing Sherry anymore. I think once we get meeting in person again, we may invite her in and maybe have some cake or something. It'd be nice to sort of send her off because I know you all know her pretty well. You've already met Justin. So that's the second thing is we did replace Sherry with Justin. Justin's doing a really bang up job. I was impressed by your presentation today, Justin. I mean, really, that was awesome. For your very first one. And he's spending most of his time doing a super great job with all our building permitting activity and other things that come up. So he's doing a really good job. The third thing was I put it in my memo, and normally I don't put things like actually give you a hint of what our for the good of the order is, but Christy Schmidt actually went ahead and took a job with the City of Lake Stevens. Her last day was Friday, and so we're gonna that's put the big hole in our department. We will be advertising to fill the city planning position shortly, I'm sure. But that there are the high demand for planning professionals, and the supply is not that large, so we need to find somebody pretty good. So we'll be trying to replace that. As far as our future,
yeah, Tom, how many people are in the planning department? So I know there used to be Christy and Sherry and you, and so now there's Adam. What about the other? Are there others?
Right now, it's Justin and me.
Justin, you. Okay.
Me. Yes.
Great. Thank you.
So as far as our future work program goes, there are a couple of things that are on the back burner or on the burner. One is we are doing some preliminary research on changing our critical area regulations, because there's some new science that's come out since we adopted our plan in 2004 that actually in most cases would have the buffers be smaller than the old science that we used in 2004. So there would be an advantage to taking a look at that and using the guidelines from the Department of Ecology. I think that would improve the developability of our properties, including our own city properties as well. The city has some property with wetlands, so I think that would be an advantage to us as well. But that's we've done some really work on that. We also coming up a little longer term would be the comprehensive plan, which is due in 2024 to be finished, but we're gonna have to get started probably early next year, actually, as far as getting involved. It's starting to actually gear up. It's an extensive thing to go through the entire document and update the things that have gone out of date, as well as consider things like potentially the Mill Creek Boulevard sub area and some of the transportation stuff that's going to be required if we're going to, you know, reroute traffic and change some of the major where the roads are functioning. We may also have a short term, like a comprehensive plan for next year. There's a property owner that has talked to the city, and they may be, I don't want to say which property is yet, but there's it's a fairly small piece that they have the city consider possibly changing the zoning and the comprehensive plan on it. So if that comes in, that'll be coming before you and the city council afterward. And one of the things that I do want to share with you is, and as it came up earlier, is that the planning department right now is me and Justin and me. And so long-term planning right now is kind of taking a back seat. We have a lot of building going on, a lot of building permits and current planning going on. And so the customers that have their applications in sort of get a front row seat. And so until we replace Christy, it may be a month or two before the planning commission meets again. And I just want to give you a heads up to that. It's not that we don't care or we want to disregard the planning commission. It's just that there's only so many people, and the phone rings. It's just really hard to spend the time where it takes to put together long range plans and put materials together for the commission that makes it worth your time to come and talk about it. So we do have some meeting items on the agenda coming forward. They will come to the commission. but I think until we get somebody to help fill Chris's spot, somebody that helps us answer the phones, answer all the zoning calls, all the other stuff that goes on, goes out to the sites, inspects construction going on, it may be a month or two. So I just want to give you a heads up. We will meet as soon as we can.
Great. Thank you, Tom.
So anyway, it disappoints me because I like the planning commission meetings. But hopefully we'll get a good planner. So we'll be advertising soon. And that was all for my report.
I have a question. Are we being recorded right now? If that button has to be red, right? Are we still being recorded right now?
Yes, we are being recorded.
I wanted to ask if it's a possibility, if the Planning Commission could go on a bus tour together. And I know we'd have to, because it's more than a quorum, we'd have to advertise it to the public. But maybe have a mini bus tour or something of the area so people could be better acquainted with the city and particular areas of concern.
Yeah, we have done tours in the past. Normally what we do is we advertise, like if we want to tour a certain place, we would advertise a meeting at that place and sort of adjourn in the field. That way the public could also join us there and hear what we say and talk about and see what we're seeing. It is possible if you do the expense and get a bus and put everybody on the same bus and allow the public to come with, that's a possibility, but that's a budget consideration. As an alternative, if I would be happy to get anybody that would like groups of up to three, so with not a quorum, I would be happy to drive you around town and show you what I know and answer your questions out in the field. It makes it a lot simpler as far as advertising and budgetary to just take groups of three. That's okay. What we've been doing with like tours of the city property that the council's looking at and taking groups out that way. Groups
yeah, of that'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah, so just give me a call and arrange that.
Okay.
We compiled the list of buildable land in Mill Creek as of this time?
Right now, the buildable land report did just get prepared by the county, and what it does is it's an analysis of sort of what our capacity is. There's something else on our website that has sort of developable properties or underdeveloped or vacant properties, and we have a list on our website too that's more of a, like if you want to know kind of what's left, that's probably an easier thing to look at than the big report that the county did. So there's a couple of things. So it depends what your objective is as far as which map I'd look at.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Any other questions? Any other good of the order? Okay, hearing nothing, then I'd ask for a motion for adjournment.
So
second it? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Well, thank you. That officially concludes our meeting. Of September 16th.
I'm going to turn the recording off now.
Good, because I want to talk to Matt.